Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome into God's house this morning. And as always, we welcome you all back to the other side of the camera on Father's Day for the sermon titled, Regardless. And our scripture lesson today comes from Genesis chapter 22, the first 19 verses. And while we're looking that up, being as it is Father's Day, I have decided today is the day for dad jokes. And I have a multitude of them. You know, last week I wandered into the store and I gave away all my dead batteries. Yeah, they were free of charge. But too high. You better get ready because there's more of them. Two hydrogen atoms walk into a bar. One says, I think I've lost an electron. The other says, are you sure? The first one replies, yes, I'm positive. Hey, this is good. You know, I personally won't buy anything with Velcro on it because I happen to think it's a ripoff. They're only going to get worse. You know, does anybody know how much roofs cost? Nothing. They're on the house. And finally, where is it? Oh, somewhere up here. I got this pen one year for Father's Day. And this is a very special pen because it can write underwater. It can write underwater. It can write other words as well, but underwater is my favorite word. And finally, in light of Father's Day, what did the mother bullet say to the daddy bullet? We're going to have a BB. I cracked myself up. All right, here we go. For the sermon titled, Regardless. What are you shaking your heads for? Genesis chapter 22 in the first 19 verses. And sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. And God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Early the next morning, Abraham got up, saddled his donkey, and he took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for a burnt offering, he set out for the place God told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, Father, yes, my son. The fire and wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And when they reached the place God told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar, on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham! Abraham! Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on that boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns, and he went over and he took the ram and he sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place the Lord will provide, and to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba, and Abraham stayed in Beersheba. May God add his blessings to this passage as we seek him out in prayer. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We ask that these words on this day that come from you, Father, bless us. Lift us up richly. Give us much. Lead us, guide us, direct us. Father, let them come from my jumbling thoughts and make sense. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. And all of his children said, Amen. When the good Lord was creating fathers, he started with a tall frame. And a female angel standing nearby said, "What kind of father is that? If you're going to make it so close to the ground, why do you have to put fathers up so high? He won't even be able to shoot marbles without kneeling, tuck a child in bed without bending, or even kiss a child with a lot of stooping." God smiled and said, "Yes, but if I make him child size, who would the children look up to?" When God made a father's hands, they were large and sinewy, and the angel shook her head sadly and said, "Do you know what you're doing? Large hands are clumsy. They can't manage diaper pins and small buttons and put rubber bands on ponytails or even remove splinters caused by baseball bats." And God smiled and said, "I know. But they're large enough to hold everything that a small boy might empty from his pockets at the end of the day, yet still small enough to cup his daughter's face." And God molded long, slim legs and broad shoulders, and the angel nearby nearly fainted. "Boy, this is the end of the week, all right," she clucked. "Do you realize you have just made a father without a lap? How's he going to pull a child close to him without the kid falling between his legs?" And God smiled and said, "A mother needs a lap. A father needs strong shoulders to pull a sled, balance a boy on a bicycle, and hold the sleepy head of his daughter on the way home from the circus." God was in the middle of creating two of the largest feet anyone had ever seen, and the angel could contain herself no longer. "That's not fair. Do you honestly think these large boats are going to dig out of bed early in the morning when that baby cries? Or walk through a small birthday party without crushing at least three of the guests?" And God smiled. "They'll work. You'll see. They'll support a small child who wants to ride a horse to Banbury Cross. Or scare off mice at the summer cabin. Or display shoes that will be a challenge to fill." God worked throughout the night, giving the father few words, but a firm, authoritative voice. Eyes that saw everything, but remained calm and tolerant. And finally, almost as an afterthought, he added tears. Then he turned to the angel and said, "Now are you satisfied? He can love as much as a mother?" And the angel shut up and walked away, writes Irma Bombeck. Regardless. Now. Wait a minute. Got to turn. I got fussed at. And if you guys would just tell me, you video watchers, when I'm way over here, you can't hear me. According to my wife, they're wanting to put a lapel mic on me. It is widely known that I am a fan, a rabid fan, of the Andy Griffith Show. Now, for those of you here, you know that. For those of you who don't on that side of the camera, let me explain it to you. I might be the greatest fan ever to live of that show. Oh, at least in my mind, I am. Now, for those of you who know me and have come to know me, many of you, if somebody walked up to you and said, "Paul Edelman likes Andy Griffith's show." "Yes, we know. He tells us all the time. He quotes it." What do you think his favorite episodes are? And to a person in this church, I'll bet all of you would say when the darlings show up. Because Briscoe Darling to me is one of the greatest men. Well, I got news for you. You would be forevermore wrong. While I love when the darlings show up, and I love it when he's there the first time, and he's putting his... Never mind. I have three favorite episodes. Now, the first one, I'll share with you next year at Mother's Day. That way you've got a reason to come back to church. Got that? But today I'm going to share my number two favorite episode all time of the Andy Griffith Show, because it teaches my lesson known as Regardless. Now in this episode, it's called Opie's Charity, and many of you will know it. Opie is sitting there, Andy's sitting there at the desk, and in walks Annabelle Sylvie. You want to know how much I know about Andy Griffith? Sit down and prepare yourself. And Annabelle Sylvie's husband had died several years ago, and Annabelle has now worked herself up into the town do-gooder. She walks around doing this, and she comes in and asks Andy to be a part of the underprivileged children's charity drive. And he says, well, of course I will. And they get to talking about that, and Andy being Andy, proud papa, asks Annabelle, all these people are giving money, and asks how much Opie had given, says to the effect, I reckon old Opie was right up there with the best of them. And Annabelle says, well, not really. Opie gave 3 cents. Now, in 1962, 3 cents was 3 cents. And Andy said, what? And he comes to find out that his son gave 3 cents. And it starts him on a journey to teach his son the meaning of giving. Now, in comes Opie a little while later on. And he comes up to his dad, and his dad begins to question him. You only gave out 3 cents? He said, well, yeah, Pa. He goes, I'm talking about the underprivileged children's drive, and I love it. He goes, oh, they collected for that at school, Pa. He says, I know they did. Oh, I know they did. And when they called your name, you gave the large sum, generous amount of 3 cents. My, that's big of you, Diamond Jim. Opie says, did I give too much, Pa? I could ask for 2 cents back. Regardless of the fact that his dad is trying to teach him something, Opie has learned from his dad, and his dad has yet to find out. And so the whole episode continues on back and forth. And of course, the side story is the fact that Miss Proud Annabelle Sylvie's husband, who died, had just simply left for a while because she couldn't put up with the fact that he had been a drunkard, and he left, and she was so proud, she buried him. Just an empty box. And the whole episode centers on how Annabelle's going to act whenever Tom comes back. As a matter of fact, he calls her. And he says, are you sitting down? Are you sure you don't want to? Well, Thomas Sylvie's standing here beside of me. Hello? Tom, I think she just sat down. And then later on, as they come to the house, this scene tears me every time. He's sitting there after he's done sending him home on the couch there at the house. And he's in there cooking supper. And Opie comes a-bouncing in, and he goes, now we've got to continue this discussion. Why is that, Pa? I told you I'm saving up my money to buy something for Charlotte, my girlfriend. Oh, that's fine. Then he gets all worked up. He says, well, I was just reading the other day that there's somewhere like 450 needy boys in this county alone, or 1.5 boys per square mile. There is, Pa. There sure is. Well, I've never seen one, Pa. Never seen one what? Half a boy. Well, it's not really half a boy, Opie. It's a ratio. Horatio who? Not Horatio, a ratio. It's mathematics, arithmetic. Look now, Opie, just forget about that part about the half a boy. Pretty hard to forget a thing like that, Pa. Well, try. Poor Horatio. Now look, Opie, Horatio's not the only needy boy. Son... Didn't you ever give anything just for the pleasure of giving it? Something you didn't want anything in return for? Sure, Pa. I just gave my best friend Jimmy something. Now, that's fine. What did you give him? A sock in the head. No, I meant charity. I didn't charge him nothing for it. I meant something for the joy of giving it. I enjoyed it. I think we're drifting a little bit here, Opie. Hold on. $1,000 you're ready to spend on your girlfriend Charlotte. But when it comes to the underprivileged children's fund, you only got 3 cents. I wasn't going to squander it, Pa. Honest, I wasn't going to squander it. What's squander? That's it, boy. If you're going to dig down in that purse and get out some more money, Pa, I can. I'm saving something for Charlotte. I know. Just march right on up them steps. Just go right on up there without anything. You just go right on the bed without any supper. And the boy goes out the room. Aunt B's in the background. Aunt B's watching. She comes out, starts putting down the dishes. And all Andy's doing is sitting there with his paper. I can't believe that. Any son of mine. I have taught him. He's going to get down there and give that piddling little amount. And a Bill Selvey. What? And Aunt B points out the error of his ways. And here's where the tears start out of my big eyes. He goes, you know, Aunt B, you're right as rain. After she corrects him, telling him what a good little boy Opie is. And maybe he didn't want to do that this time. But you know you've taught him right from wrong. And he goes, you're right, Aunt B. You're right as rain. And she goes, well, maybe you ought to call him down. And he goes, well, maybe I ought to. And he goes over to the steps. He goes, Opie? Opie, you come on down now, son. Come on down and have supper. And Opie comes bouncing down the stairs and says, do you love me again, Pa? Well, I never quit loving you. You know that. We're just going to forget about that little thing. And they start going over to the chairs. And they sit down at the table and all the food's on there. And he starts tucking in. He says, I understand you didn't want to give anything this time. I told you, Pa, I'm saving up for my girlfriend. That's right. You want to take her to the county fair and buy her a ticket to rides or maybe buy her a whole bucket of cotton candy. That's not what I'm saving for, Pa. Well, what are you saving for? A coat. And anything you want. A what? A coat, Pa. I noticed that Annabelle's coat is pretty worn out. And her mama ain't got much money. I figured if I saved all summer long, I'd be able to buy her a coat when it got cold. Regardless of the fact that he was thinking that he hadn't taught his boy, he had. Of course, we all know how the episode ends, right? Pa, what are we having for supper? Well, you and your Aunt Bea are eating fried chicken, and I'm going to be eating crow. Regardless, that is my number 2 favorite episode. And like I said, if you want to find out what my favorite episode of the Andy Griffith Show is, you're going to have to come back next year for Mother's Day. Regardless that he's a father, he has to take direction. Regardless of the fact that he thinks he has taught, the lessons that he has taught are what have been learned. Regardless of where we are as fathers, we find ourselves constantly being changed. We go back to the scripture. You know, I labored over all the different Father's Day scriptures there are in the Bible, and can I tell you something? They ain't many. You see, once again, it's Father's Day. You know what we get on Father's Day, don't you? We get to hand out a $20 bill to our children to go shopping, and we get one pack of underwear back and no change. Abraham has a son, Isaac. That's all he ever wanted. Regardless of everything else that went on, that's all he ever wanted. And he asked and prayed, no, 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 no. Then one day, when Sarah was way up there in years, they show a moment of kindness, and the Lord tells him she's going to have a son. And his child Isaac is born. I can't even begin to imagine that. And it's not a father-son thing. It's a father thing. Your father that brought you out. If you're a father, daughter, it don't matter. As we well know, I will never... I'm so glad. I love my sons. And I've got nothing against the female form or anything like that. I can tell you right now, I was never, ever, 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 ever built to be the father of a daughter. Because it would be murder. It would be a bloodbath in my house. Because my little girl would come walking in, and I know she'd be beautiful. And I'm not bragging. I know that she'd be beautiful because God has a sense of humor. And he'd make her into a little supermodel. And she'd come flitting in that house. Daddy? Yes, my love. I'd like to have a pony. Well, you got it, baby. And off to the livestock auction we'd go and come back with two horses. And how would you ever discipline her? My wife would say, you need to thump her rear end. She's been bad. I ain't doing that. No, no, you don't have to do that. I can't even begin to look at it. And I know what would happen. She would have been daddy's little girl and followed me all around till she discovered makeup and boys at 12 years old. Then all the tractors and all the toys and everything I bought her would be sitting in some building somewhere for some pimple-faced kid to show up on to date my daughter and go, "Hi, Mr. Leatherman. I'm here to take out your daughter, Hazel. I hear you've got tractors. May I see them? Get out." So he gave me sons. Now, God has a sense of humor, so you know what's coming later, right? Granddaughters. That's all Abraham wanted. Got to have a son to carry on the name, and he gets it. He begins to raise him up, and he teaches him, and he loves on him. And one day God says, take him to that mountain and kill him in my name. That's what that Bible just said. Regardless of the fact that this was his only son, the one he had waited for, he understood his God was bigger than anything. And so he said, I will. And they walked. If you've ever seen the movie The Greatest Story Ever Told, I believe it's in there. Or maybe it's in the Bible. Anyhow, I believe it's Gregory. No, it's not Gregory Peck. Anyhow, somebody in there plays Abraham, one of them famous actors from back in that time. And his name will pop into my head in a moment. But he's walking along with his son, and his son, Isaac, a couple of years old, 7, 8 years old, is a typical kid and won't stop talking. Daddy, what do you think about this? Daddy, what do you think about this? Daddy, what do you think of daddy, 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 daddy? They walk through what was left of Sodom and Gomorrah. And they finally get there. And he turns around and he says, wait here, fellas. And he puts a little sack of sticks on his back, and they walk along, and he's carrying the fire. And they get up there and they build it, and the boy says, Daddy, where's the goat? Where's the sacrifice? And his father looks at him, tears coming down. And he gathers him up, and he binds him, and the boy begins to cry. And he lays him there. And I tell you, I've seen that scene 100 times. And he stands back. And he takes that knife and he's coming up. And just at that moment, Abraham! The knife falls. Regardless of anything else, men, we have been called to be fathers. Regardless of anything else, the Bible teaches us we have called to be children of our fathers. And like it or not, regardless of what has happened, you are something that has been imprinted on you from your father. And in those moments, as they found the ram, and they rejoiced in knowing that God would be everything, the blessings came forward. I read that story, and I'm telling you, man, it just drives me to my very heart. We spend all of our time, don't we, fellas? We spend all of our time trying, hoping, wanting, needing, desiring, wanting to teach those of us, or those around us, that will go on past us. It don't matter if it's your child or not. That's what you do. That's what you want to do. You want to teach. You want to learn. We record these words from, 2 Samuel, which some dummy forgot to mark. Oh, no, I didn't. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, King David is being spoken to by Nathan the prophet by the Lord. It says, the Lord declares to you there in the 11th verse that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father. He will be my son. When he does wrong, I will punish him with the rod of men, with floggings inflicted by men. But my love will never be taken from him as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed before you. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. That's the job of a father. Regardless of what we think it is, our job is to prepare that way for things that we will never see, for things that we will never have, for things that we will never know, so that somewhere down the road, our children can step back and go, Dad did this, and because of this, I'm this. We have been given a task. The Bible said, and I heard this yesterday, and I thought this was one of the most beautiful things. Ricky Skaggs was being interviewed about a bluegrass album, a bluegrass gospel album that he did. And Ricky talked about some of the influences of his life as a bluegrass musician. His father and some of the people around him. And a lot of people don't realize, but when Ricky was very young, Ricky was part of the Bill Monroe Bluegrass Band. And Bill Monroe was not really a great person. He was a masterful musician, but he was not necessarily known for being one of the best people. And when he was asked about that by the interviewer, with that reputation, Ricky said this, I write this music, I do these songs because the Bible says so. Because the Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother. It doesn't say to honor them if. It doesn't say to honor them because. It doesn't say to honor them when. The Bible says to honor thy father and thy mother. Even if they weren't the best. Even if he wasn't there. Even if everything he did in this world was wrong, because of your father you live. Regardless of him, sometimes you still honor and give him that respect. That's why I do this. Regardless of what we do wrong, our Father still loves us, right? I wasn't going to do this. I ain't kidding. Regardless of what anybody else said, I was not doing this today. I had already made up my mind. I wasn't doing it. Somebody sent me a note and said, not will, not could, not if. Said, you're singing tomorrow, right? I didn't think that's how you asked the question. I thought you said, Paul, you're such... And this is how it should have come to me. Paul, you're such a wonderful individual, and your light shines so greatly. And it's Father's Day, and you're such a wonderful example of a father. Would you mind favoring us with a selection from your superb voice, your velvet voice, and from your musical collection? No! You're singing tomorrow. That was all it was. Pick a song and sing. So, there aren't many Father's Day songs out there. There's plenty of them to mother. And that's all right. But George Strait, and I've sung it here before, and I have about five of them that I can rotate through, and I didn't sing this one last year. George Strait did that song many years back, A Love Without End, Amen. Now, I'm going to sing it, and you need to pay attention to the last verse because I modified it slightly to fit my situation. I got sent home from school one day with a shiner on my eye. Fighting was against the rules, didn't matter why. When Dad got home, I told that story just like I'd rehearsed. And then I stood there on them trembling knees, waited for the worst. He said, let me tell you a secret about a father's love. Secret that my daddy said was just between us. He said daddies don't just love their children every now and then. It's a love without end. Amen. Pay attention. When I became a father in the winter of 03, there was no doubt them twin little boys were acting just like me. When I thought my patience had been tested to the end, I took my daddy's secret and I passed it on to them. I said, let me tell you a secret about a father's love. A secret that my daddy said was just between us. You see, daddies don't just love their children every now and then. It's a love without end. Last night I died and dreamed I stood outside the pearly gates. When suddenly I realized there must be some mistake. If he'd known half the things I've done, he'll never let me in. Then somewhere from the other side, I heard these words again. Said, let me tell you a secret about a father's love. A secret that my daddy said was just between us. See, daddies don't just love their children every now and then. It's a love without end. Amen. Regardless, it's a love without end. Amen. That's the Father. That's what we learn by paying attention. Even when we're wrong, even when we think our children haven't been learning, they listen. Would you like to know how I know? Say, yes, Paul.
Yes, Paul.
Say, yes, Paul.
Yes, Paul.
Got my Father's Day gift today. Ready? I got a grill light. For Father's Day, I got a grill light. So now, regardless of the weather or the dark, all I got to do is turn that thing on. Don't go it. Turn that thing on, and look, it's got a clamp on it. It's got magnets on it. Now I can grill all the time. And it only took 4 years of asking, but they listen. What are fathers made of? Father is a thing that's forced to endure childbirth without anesthetic. A father is a thing that growls when it feels good and laughs very loud when it's scared to death. A father never feels entirely worthy of the worship in a child's eyes. He's never quite the hero his daughter thinks, never quite the man his son believes him to be. And this worries me. So he works too hard to try and smooth out the rough places in the road for those that will follow him. A father is a thing that gets very angry when the school grades ain't where they should be. He scolds his children even though he knows it's the teacher's fault. Fathers are what give daughters away to other men who aren't nearly good enough so they can have grandchildren that are better than anybody else's. Fathers make bets with insurance companies who'll live the longest, and though they know the odds, they keep right on betting, knowing one day they will lose. Paul Harvey wrote this saying, I don't know where fathers go when they die, but I've got an idea after a good rest up in heaven. They won't be happy till there's work to do. He won't just sit on a cloud waiting for the girl that he's loved or the children she bore. He'll be there repairing the stairs, oiling the gates, improving the streets, smoothing the way. Regardless of what this life has thrown at him, he is a mender of toys, a leader of boys. He is a changer of fuses, a healer of bruises. He is a mover of couches, a soother of ouches. He is a pounder of nails. He is a teller of tales. And as Joanne Heidebreeder wrote in this poem, he is a dryer of dishes, a fulfiller of wishes. Bless him, O Lord. Regardless of Abraham to Isaac, God to Moses, or for God so loved the world, regardless, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Regardless. Happy Father's Day, my brothers. May God add his blessings to you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this message, for this reminder. We ask, Father, that you would take the men on this day. Don't let them sit down. Don't let them rest. Don't let them do anything else than what they're already doing. Because that's the work that you've laid out for us, and thankful we are of it. Watch over and keep all of us today, Father. In Jesus' name, we thank you for this message. Amen. Now, wait on that last song. If you have a need this morning, the bench is open. If there's something about you that you need to share, call me. Reach out to me. If you're on the other side of the camera, reach out to someone you know. And I ask that may God have blessings on you and your life. And happy Father's Day.